سيد الأنبياء سيد المرسلين.
24 minutes after 5 South African time on this beautiful, mashallah, Yom Al Khamis. It's the 16th of Ramadan, 1442. Let's welcome the listeners of Al Ansar International. Let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And let's welcome our beloved senior Ustad this morning. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بارك الله فيكم على عرفات جزاك الله خيرا to our technicians brother Junaid Khan and brother Zakaria نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَأَحْلُلْ أُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today is the 16th of Ramadan, 1442. We focus on chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, and verses 63 to 65. We discussed yesterday that the 10 brothers left Canaan, Palestine, and then they went to Egypt because there was famine and drought there in Palestine, and Egypt was thriving and flourishing, and there the minister of finance, the minister of agriculture, farming, many portfolios was Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. And when the brothers came, he recognized them. They did not recognize him. Nevertheless, they paid a little bit money, bartering and so forth. And he honored them. He was very, very good to them. An impeccable character. And then he told them, the next time you come, you must bring your brother worth, Benjamin, who is the full brother of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, bin Yamin, and Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam are full brothers. The other 10 were half brothers, sharing the same father, consanguine brothers, as we will say. And now when they were returning, so he, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, is a minister, person who is respected throughout the whole of Egypt. So he told the servants and workers, take this money, take these things that they paid with, and place it quietly, discreetly in their luggage. Now they are returning home from Egypt, they're coming back to Palestine. So what happens now? So this is what Almighty Allah teaches us, chapter 12, verse 63. فَلَمَّا رَجَوُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ. Hence, when the 10 of them are returning to their father, and now they reach there, after all the formalities, how are you, how is everything? قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا. They said, oh, our father. Oh, father, مُنِعَ مِنَّ الْكَيْلِ. This measurement is prohibited and we are forbidden from it. If you are not going to fulfill one condition, فَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَوْنَا. You must send with us the next time we go, our brother. Now they said, our brother. You know, they say Matlab Ali's life is very long. Matlab Ali means people who have a motive, ulterior motive, hidden agenda. So otherwise, they didn't really like Benjamin also, Binyamin. But now, because they needed him, otherwise they will not receive anything. They said, فَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَوْنَا. You must send with us the next time we go to Egypt, our brother Binyamin, Benjamin. Naktal, then we will get the measurement, we will get the food, we will get the quota and the ration. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we will surely look after him, we will be the one to guard him, no harm will come to him. Now if you go and make a cross reference, go to Surah Yusuf chapter 12, and you will see when they came to father and spoke about Joseph, what did they say? Surah Surah 12, chapter 12, verse number 12. Chapter 12, verse 12. Subhanallah. أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا يَرْتَعَ وَيَلْعَبُ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Oh Father, send Yusuf with us tomorrow. We're going for a picnic. We're going for nice running in the field, in the park. And he will enjoy himself and he'll play. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we will guard him. No harm, nothing will happen to him. Chapter 12, verse number 12. Now it's the turn of Benjamin bin Yamin. So they said, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. That we will be the ones that we will guard him, protect him. Call Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, Jacob, peace be upon him, speaks. هَلْ آمَنُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا كَمَا مِنْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. What? Must I trust you again over him, over Benjamin, Benjamin? Illa kama amintukum ala akhi, as I trusted you for his brother. You know what you did with Joseph, with Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Till now I don't know where he is, and you are guilty, and you want to tell me that now you're going to take my other son? He's the second apple of my eye. The first one is Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Min qablu, you know what you did before. But see, a Nabi, a prophet, a messenger, selected by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, not elected by people. Now he knows, because Joseph, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, told him. That time already, decades are passing. And what has happened, he told him in his youth. I saw the dream. Ahada ashara kawkabahu wa shamsa wal qamara. So I saw the 11 stars, and I saw the sun and the moon, that they all are now making sajda to me, and I am, you know, the one. So he knew it has a greater meaning and a greater interpretation, and Almighty Allah knows best. So a Nabi, a mighty, mighty messenger of Almighty Allah, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu salam, recites the following supplication. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Hence Almighty Allah is the best of protectors, and he, Almighty Allah, is the most merciful one to show mercy. Let us pause here for a moment and just digress for a moment. We take our beloved South Africa. We know corruption and crime. People are getting kidnapped, hijacked. So many things are happening. Be honest. Who can help us and protect us? None. Except him, Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, O Muslim, O non-Muslim. Everyone learn this verse. You do not know Arabic, read it in English, Zulu, Afrikaans, whichever language you want. For chapter 12, verse 64. Chapter 12, verse 64. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. O Almighty Allah, you are the best protector. Protect us, protect our families, protect everyone, Ya Allah. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Whilst he, Almighty Allah, is the most merciful one to show mercy. Always beg Almighty Allah for his mercy. Chapter 7, verse 151. Chapter 7, verse 151, Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Harun alayhi salam, Moses, peace be upon him, Aaron, peace be upon him, one is reciting and one is saying, Amen, Ameen, O Allah, accept. وَأَدَخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ. O Almighty Allah, include us in your special, special mercy. وَأَدَخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ وَأَنْتَ أَرَحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Whilst you, Ya Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. And what did Almighty Allah teach us? Almighty Allah taught us in chapter 6, remember verse 90. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. These messengers and prophets, Almighty Allah, guided them, selected them. They were not elected by people. So you must follow in their footsteps. So we must learn the supplications of the various prophets and messengers and see their actions. He know it is difficult time. There is drought, there is famine. And now that ruler there is very, very kind and compassionate in it. He gave full measurement, and now they can receive a little bit more, but I'll have to make sacrifice. My beloved Yusuf is gone, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, and now I have to part with even Binyamin, Benjamin. So these are all trials and tests. But these trials and tests are not like how it is for me and you. Me and you daily, we are committing vices and sins. So that is a punishment so that we come back to the right path. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ But for Anbiya, prophets and messengers, these trials and tests come why? لِرَفْءِ الدَّرَجَاتِ To elevate their rank even higher and higher. So that is what this test is all about. You know, your father, mother, grandparents, old great-grandparents, that time they would not know all these du'as. But when we would leave home, then we're going to school, we're going to madrasa, we're going to the Islamic school, whatever it is. And what do we say? We say, okay, Abba, Ummi, father, mother, I'm going. They will say, go, beta, Khuda Hafiz. That is very similar to this. Allah be with you, Allah guard you, Allah guide you, everything. So these are the du'as we must learn. Now, that was the first news they gave. Now they're opening the luggage. وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاهُمْ When the 10 sons, they opened their bags and their luggage. وَجَدُوا بِضَاتَهُمْ They found their money. They found that which they used for bartering. رُدَّتْ إِلَيْهِمْ Has been returned to them. Subhanallah, it means they got their ration and their quota free of charge gratis. What a compassionate ruler. What a compassionate minister. They dumped him in the well and they sold him as a slave and he landed up there in the jail. All this happened, but he did not fight fire with fire. He fought fire with water, meaning he showed his impeccable character. قَالُوا يَا بَانَانْ وَانَبَغِي Now they elated and delighted the 10 brothers. Oh father, what more can we desire and ask for? We receive everything free of charge and this meager sum that we paid, the little bit debt also has been returned to us. هَذِهِ بِضَاعَتُنَا رُدَّتْ إِلَيْنَا That this money we paid has been returned to us. So please, we beg you, Father, that man is impeccable, so great, that they don't know for a moment as yet that he is Joseph, Nabi Yusuf, alayhi salam. So please, Father, when we're going to go the second time, وَنَمِيرُ أَهْلَنَا We will bring food and we'll bring provision for our family. You know how difficult the conditions are. وَنَحْفَذُ أَخَانَا We will surely look after our brother now. وَنَزْدَادُ كَيْلَ بَعِيرٍ And we will receive an extra quota equivalent to that of a camel, because they used to load the camels, and in that way one extra camel will be loaded, because now when we go second time we will be 11 brothers. ذَلِكَ كَيْلٌ يَسِيرٌ For us, remember that it is something very big, one extra camel load. But for him, Joseph, they do not know it is Joseph, peace be upon him. For him, he has the khazana, he has the treasures, he has the minister of finance. So for him, it is something very easy to give us one extra load, camel load. So what happens after that? Inshallah, tomorrow, quickly. Today is the 16th. I want you, the listeners of Radio Al Ansar International, Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah, to listen attentively. And you, my non-Muslim listeners also, it's something fascinating. So listen attentively. Tonight, because in Islam, the night precedes the day. So tonight will be the 17th of Ramadan. Tomorrow, Jumu'ah, Friday, will be 17th Ramadan. Let us go back to our golden history. 1442 now. It will be 1440 years. 1440 years. We're going back. It was the Thursday night, the night of Friday, the second year after the Hijrah, on a Friday, and Almighty Allah called it Yawm al-Furqan, the day of distinction and criterion. and what had happened. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and 313 Sahaba were in Badr, 150 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara. On the other side was Abu Jahl and his cronies and comrades, approximately 1,000. Everything, if you look at it materially, was advantageous to the non-Muslim, and the Muslims were totally at a disadvantage. But that Thursday night, the night of Friday, if you go to Badr today, you will find a masjid called Masjidul Arish, white in color. We've been there several times. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, hada min fadli Rabbi, Sheikh Ibrahim, my friend, is there nevertheless. So what do? We study what Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that Thursday night, that night of Friday. Allahumma in tuhulikadil isaba lan tubad badal yawm. He cried, he begged, he petitioned Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, if this group perishes and we lose, your name will never be taken again. The shawl Mubarak of the Master alayhi salam was about to fall, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, Hasbuka ya Rasulullah. Enough, enough. Sahaba were motivated, inspired. And then Friday, the battle breaks out, and we see 70 of them, the non-Muslim, killed, dispatched straight to the hellfire. 70 taken captive, 14 Sahaba students on that Friday, martyred. Their Mubarak bodies are there in Badr. So my brother, my sister, tonight, every night of Ramadan is a big night, but tonight is Yawm al-Furqan. Tomorrow is Yawm al-Furqan. You want your son to become a Hafiz. You want to become a Pakka, strong, good Hafiz. So read tonight Surah Yasin, Surah Dukhan, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Surah Mulk and Surah Tabarak. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, as mentioned in Tirmidhi. Oh, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, on the night of Friday, carry out this action. Surah Yasin, Surah Dukhan, chapter 44, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, and Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi. Allah will bless you with a powerful retentive Ameen. Memory. Ya Allah, through the barakah of the Badr, the battle of Badr, grant our Mujahideen victory throughout the world against the enemies, O Arhamur Rahimin.
Ustad, allow me a few words from my side. I was told by the family of the Marhuma, of course, she is a Shahida. And I spoke to Malana Salim, he gave his piece, words of advice. I spoke to Mufti Siraj Hafizahullah, he gave his few words of advice. So I was told from the family as well, inshallah, if Ustad could just give few words as to the mother especially. And I see Sister Lillian, Ustad, I just want to read this to you. Sister Lillian says, good morning, sir, I am Lillian. I heard they killed that poor soul Nadira. Sir, tell me, I am a non-Muslim. Do I have the right to kill the perpetrator on behalf of the family, to serve justice to the family, or are only family members allowed to do that? I see Brother Yurik as well says, why did they do this to that young, beautiful soul? Ustad, over to you.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Obviously, I don't know which question Mona Arafat will pose to me. Last night, before I slept, it was around 11 o'clock or so, and before I sleep, I just see anything very important, and I found one item there of news, and I even sent it to the team, must be after 11, 5 past 11 or so, so they can carry the story. And it came in one of the local newspapers. They said that the murderer's wife, she spilled the beans and told the police that her husband is the one who's guilty. He perpetrated this heinous crime, and there is the shallow grave and so forth. Remember two, three things, Lillian, Brother Yuri, whoever, the family. We never ever advocate violence. We never ever advocate that people must take the law in their own hands. Remember, our sister Nadira has passed away, and Allah granted Jannatul Firdaus. She passed away a martyr, a shahida, and Allah in Ramadan on top of it. So remember, Allah will reward her. To you, to the mother, there I believe four children there as well. So Allah alone will give you the sabr and so forth. So always look at the positive, even in difficult times. What do we say as Muslims? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily, we belong to Almighty Allah, and unto Almighty Allah is the return. So remember, remember, let justice take its course, and inshallah they have leads now, because you must remember the one suspect has been apprehended. I think he's in custody already, and they're looking for the second perpetrator. So whatever it is, remember that we as Muslims, always, whichever way a person passes away, then we should give the message of positive, being positive. So read, Inna lillahi wa inna raji'un, and Almighty Allah teaches us in chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 156-157, when we exercise patience, then ulaika alayhim salawatu min rabbihim wa rahmah, Allah's blessings come to them, Allah's mercy comes to them, wa ulaika humul muhtadun, and remember, they are the guided people. To take the law in our own hands, we hire a hitman, and then we go and shoot him. What will happen? It will just be a cycle of violence and so forth. We have enough violence in South Africa. We do not need more. So to you, the mother of Nadira and the children, for your ummi, for your beloved daughter, read, Rabbana filli wali walidayya walil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab, chapter 14, verse 41. You, the ummah, read Surah Yasin daily, Iqra Yasin ala mautakum, is hadith on the authority of Ma'qil bin Yasar in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. So we should be reading every day. Before I came down, now I read Surah Yasin. Ya Allah, whatever needs we have, the ummah has, our beloved parents, family, teachers, and the entire ummah, whoever passed away, ya, with Iman and Islam, you forgive them, ya Allah. So that is what we need to do. So yes, we're making dua for your beloved daughter, O ummi, O mother, and you, the children. But remember, don't ever get incited by people that we will do this, we will do that. Do not let the emotions get hold of us. Let us behave in a responsible manner, and don't get the gangsters and hitmen. We know everything is available, but never do that as far as Islam goes.
Student of Deen says, dear Mufti Saab, my name is Amira. I'm 23 years old. I just got proposed. He's a Pakistani Mufti Saab. My parents are accepting this proposal without consulting me because he's filthy rich. I need Mufti Saab's help. Can someone speak to my parents? He's 38 years old. Ustad.
My sister Amira, I don't know you, I don't know the Pakistani brother, and I don't know your parents. But three things I'll tell you. Your name means princess, right? Amira. One. Number two is this. If you, as a daughter, as a sister, are not happy, then your parents cannot impose it upon you. You must remember that. And you must make it very clear, because the criteria they are using, you must remember, is totally un-Islamic. And if you look at your ages also, it is permissible. You 23, he's 38. If all parties are happy, you give consent, your parents give consent, he's happy, then it's fine. But yeah, you are not happy. And for a variety of reasons, I can name them for you. Number one, you feel that Amira, the age gap is too much. Then you feel your parents' judgment is being tainted, polluted. They're only looking at the mal, at the wealth, because he's filthy, rich, and what have you. He gave them so many gifts and dollars and what have you. And then third one, you know that the Pakistanis, the foreigners, we don't say all, but remember, many of them don't have a very good history. We don't paint everybody with the same brush, but we all know the history that's happening in South Africa. Even in this case of Nadira, you must remember some foreigners are the husband or involved in what have you, it seems, and the prima facie evidence and so forth. So remember, you must make it clear, and to you parents, it's very, very disappointing. Let me be honest, I don't know you, but I am the person, وَنَسَحْتُ لَكُمْ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ. Anbiya, Prophet and messengers used to say, oh people, we're giving you advice from the bottom of our heart. These were Anbiya, prophets, totally ma'soom, no sin. We are head to toe filled and drowning in sin. But at least this much, oh parents, don't do it. I beg you, don't do it. Leave that Pakistani and leave his wealth. Tell him, bhai, bohut shukriya, bohut aur larkiya hai, jakar aur dundo. There are many fish in the sea, go look somewhere else. Though our daughter is not for sale. I beg you, parents, parents. Don't do that. Don't sell your daughter. That's exactly what you are doing. So do not do that. And you, sister, you remain firm, Amira. You are a princess. Allah will send a nice, good prince for you.
Ameen.
You keep on reading today and especially tonight. It is Yawm al-Furqan, Laylatul Furqan, the day of criterion. And read Surah 25, verse 74. And that is Rabbana Hablana min Azwajina wa Zurriyatina Qurrata Ayun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us such spouses and such children that are the coolness of the eyes. The problem with the Ummah, the Muslims of the world today, Arabs, non-Arabs, Indian, Chinese, African, is we look at Mal and Jamal. We look at wealth and we look at beauty. Get married, get married. So then, after 1 month, 6 months, back home. But why? JC Niyat, JC Barkat. Your intention is tainted and polluted. So parents, Islamically, what you are doing is haram and not permissible.
I see Amira says she listens to you every morning, Muftisab. And she's sitting on a musalla and making dua because you're giving the answer this week, Saturday, Ustad.
Tell them, and you can send a message to him. You may be having numbers. Say, me, I'm not getting married to you. Finish. You understand? You just make it known to him and to your parents. End of the story.
A listener says, we listen to your radio every morning. There is a different language on which we don't understand. Can you please play some English lectures at your South African time? Because it is afternoon by us and morning by you. We are a group of reverts seeking potent Islamic knowledge. Johnny from Tennessee, Ustad. T-E-N-N-A-S-E-E.
Tennessee. Okay, mashallah, very, very good. You are listening. You know we go to different time zones. Very good suggestion. So to accommodate you, what we are going to do from next week, Monday, my colleague, Mona Zahid Khan, our South African time, 2:30 to 3. In fact, I scheduled a meeting for him today also, that what we will do from next week, the 3rd of May, it will be, and South African time 2:30 to 3, he's going to start the Markaz Sahaba Madrasa. So what is the Madrasa? For exactly people like you, my brothers, sisters in Tennessee, and that is the reverts and so forth, because we have to cater for everybody. So 80-90% is English, but little bit we have Urdu, and because we have elderly citizens, so they want that. Then we have some Arabic and so forth on Fridays, which I translate, you know, the khutbah, the sermon from Makkah. So we have to look at all. But your suggestion, 100% we accept it. And therefore, on Monday, we're starting with that, inshallah. And that will be a regular feature, Monday to Friday, inshallah. That madrasa on air. And that is especially targeted for reverts and people who know very little about Islam. So inshallah, he will be educating the ummah, especially people who are reverts. So that is from 2:30. Diarize it for Monday onwards, inshallah.
Johnny says, thank you, sir. God bless you, Ustad.
We always for you at your service, my brother Johnny. So you must remember that. Mera naam Johnny. Yeah. Right, carry on.
When I pray my Tarawih Salah, I put a pillow on my musalla where my knees touch the ground, Ustad. So when I go into sajda, it doesn't hurt my knees. I was told this is wrong, as I need to make salah on a flat and even surface. Advise, Ustad.
Remember that if you are reading Salat on the land, on the sand, on the ground, and you're putting a carpet and so forth, the most important thing you must realize is your forehead, your nose, and so forth. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umirna, that I have been commanded, An-Najjuda ala sabati a'da, that I have to make sajda on 7 limbs. So what are the 7 limbs? When we prostrate, we place our palms firmly on the ground. We place our knees firmly on the ground. We place our feet, our toes and all that firmly on the ground. So that's 6 already. Then the forehead and the nose, that's considered as 1. So that is the 7. Open Tirmidhi, open Mustad Ahmad, you will find the hadith. But if you are old and sickly and so forth, and for the sajda, the prostrating, you put a sponge or you put a pillow or some cushion or whatever you, and because otherwise you won't be able to manage that. So that's fine. But your sajda, that you must make sure sure there, that is your face and your nose and all that, your forehead, your nose, there will be no pillow, no cushion, nothing. So then salat will be valid. Don't worry about people. People don't even understand basics, but they want to give fatwas and verdicts. So don't worry about them.
Somebody says, Maulana A.K. Hussein, my boss makes me work each day, but he's celebrating with his family, and I must sit in the shop, but I can't be with my family. Is this permissible, Ustad?
In the latest Muslim Women, the magazine, you will find this question there. So in the Q&A section, and it is the May edition. All of you should purchase it. Very informative article on Zanzibar and a Q&A. So the question posed is, should Muslim people, business people, businessmen or whatever you, open the shop on the day of Eid? So we wrote the fatwa and wrote there, it is desirable, better for the Muslims to close the shop, more so if they have Muslim employees. But if they have, you know, if they open the shop, so it will be permissible. There's no sin upon them, and the income will be totally permissible. You know, brother, so nowadays people are, you know, have difficult times. COVID came, so many business decimated, so many people unemployed, millions if you look around the globe. So in a case like that, if he opens the shop, you can't blame him. So if I have a business, and remember I have 5-10 Muslim staff, so what we will do is this, we rotate it. This Eid, you come to work and he goes off. Next Eid, this group will come and that group will go. So in that way, there you can manage it, so then everybody will feel fine. And he can take off, he's the big boss, you must remember. You can't say why he's taking off and I can't take off. You must remember that. That analogy is wrong, so you must remember that he's the boss. So if he can sleep the whole day, as long as it is his salat and all that. So we can't say, why are you thinking of? No, he's the boss. So don't apply that. That's wrong. That.
Ustad, can a lady make her salat before the azan, Ustad?
Remember, my mother's sisters, as long as the time for that particular salat has entered and you're sure about it, then you perform your salat, your namaz, your prayer, totally permissible. Let's take an example. We just take times that are on the hour, like now. Your place where you are, I'm just giving an example. Say 5 o'clock is cut off, right? Suhoor, the pre-dawn meal, seheri, suhoor time cuts off 5 o'clock, 5 a.m. But the adhan will only go there about 5:20, 5:30, for example. So 5:10, 5:15, you read your salat before the adhan. So totally permissible, because you are sure the time for that particular salat and namaz and prayer has entered already. And this is for all salats, remember, totally permissible.
Somebody says, good morning, sir. Mr. Hansen said, I must listen to your program and advise. Well, I'm doing just that. Brilliant show, but lacking picture. Sir, why does your show not allow picture of you and the other presenter? Listeners would like to see who they're listening to. I am just one of them. Ustad.
We're not so handsome, my brother. Mr. Hansen gave you good advice. We radio, we audio. We're not video, my brother. So anyway, there are many, many reasons, but the message is important. You said brilliant show. We appreciate that, my brother. So we're not so, we don't like all this makeup and all these things. You see, when people want to go on the video and TV 100 times, they have to look in the mirror, how I look. Like I just came now and now it's simple, Simon. We just speak, you understood. So, my brother, you listen to the message. Don't worry about how we look and so forth. As long as the message is going through, whether it's America, New Zealand, any other part of the world, so we are very, very happy with that. And there are many other reasons as well. So, anyway, as you keep on listening, inshallah. And speaking of that, today, 11 to 12, we have a special program with Moana Zahid Khan, and that will be Fiqh. That we discuss the issues regarding the last 10 days, the i'tikaf, Laylatul Qadr, many, many issues, inshallah. And that will be between 11 and 12. And then between 2 and 2:30, we have special Ramadan Q&A. So all Masail people have this issue, that issue. So these are the programs still coming up, inshallah.
One more question, Ustad. Can I make and sell fancy hearses for a living? Is my income halal, Ustad?
What you mean by hearses? The only hearse I know is the car that takes the people to the graveyard and so forth. I don't know if you're speaking of that. Oh, you understood the question, Mona?
No, I never understood. It says hearses, H-U-R-S-E-S, Ustad.
It's not the houses.
No, he said, I make it sell fancy. Hearses. Yeah, hearses.
Oh, so anyway, you must explain to us. We simple Simon, there we three of us here. Mona Arafat is looking at Junaid Mota, I'm looking at him. If you say fancy houses to sell, it's permissible, you're an estate agent. If you sell to sell a fancy hearse, you're a car dealer, you want to sell now a Rolls Royce, or you want to sell a limousine and all that. You know the non-Muslims, they take the people in the fancy cars. So if you want to sell a car like that, so it's permissible. So maybe there's a typographical error there or something, I don't know. But if some other term, then you must explain to us, because we three simple Simon, three musketeers here, we don't understand the word, the question really. So anyway, so you explain to us, inshallah, tomorrow we'll answer you. Don't forget, O Ummah, tonight is Noorun ala Noor. The calendar has come back to the second year of the Hijrah, and that was a Friday. It was second year after Hijrah. The Maidan, the place was Badr, and it was, remember, 17th of Ramadan. This year, exactly we have the same. 17th Ramadan, the night of Friday and Jumu'ah, and 1442, so 1440 years have passed, and we came back. And with the barakah of the Battle of Badr, Ya Allah, give us and give the Mujahideen and the Muslims victory throughout the world. And Almighty Allah called it and named it Yawm al-Furqan, the Day of the Criterion. May Almighty Allah guide all of us and all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.